Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I would like to welcome you again to another one of our shows, Theologically Speaking. I'm your host, Jose Dorsey. I would just like to thank all of those that are out there in radio land and the internet world, virtual land. Thank you so much for lending us your attention and being so faithful to this mode, this style of ministry. It may look a little bit different from many traditional ways that we're used to seeing ministry operate. However, just know that the Lord uses multiple avenues or vehicles in order to reach people. Somebody might not ever get a chance to or might not consider going and sitting in a sanctuary and listening to a sermon, but somebody else might be more inclined to actually listen by this mode and this way. So I just would like to thank all of you out there that patronize the show, that allow us to use this platform to reach out. We hope that it's thought-provoking, that it's mentally stimulating, and then at a minimum, it causes us to look at where we are in our Christian walk, essentially begin to look at who we are, whose we are, and then examine more about what the Word of God says and not what man does. With that being said, our whole effort is to try to reach out to somebody in the highways and the byways, that if they're unbelieving, that we use this platform to be a blessing to them so that they may hear the word, so that ultimately they may believe and be saved. And us walking in our Christian walk, come on, let's just face it. The reality is sometimes this thing get real hard. I'm in my spiritual imagination, wherever you are, I can see you nodding your head saying, yeah, it can get real hard sometimes. And so sometimes it can get confusing as to what we believe, what we should follow, who we should listen to. But the reality is what we need to do is govern ourselves according to the word, and that would tell us everything. Leaders, I'm not even telling you that you should follow me. Jose Dorsey is messed up sometimes. Sometimes things don't go my way. I've made mistakes. I've fallen down. And Lord knows I'm paying for those mistakes, and I wish I never made those mistakes, and I want to come back from them, learn from them. But the reality is, you know, even me, when it comes to me, I want you to go and do your diligent research, study so that you can be a person that understands the Word of God very well. So listen, I'm really excited about this show. Before I get started, I just want to have a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right into it. So wherever you are, if you just open up your heart and your mind to touch and agree with me right now, Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we humbly come before you. We thank you for another opportunity to use this platform to reach out so that someone might hear, that it might touch, be touched, and ultimately they might believe. Even those of us that do believe, Lord, we do believe, but help us in our unbelief. Help us to get to the point where we go beyond what we can see, what we can feel, those tangible things around us, and help us to walk by faith and not by sight. We trust you, God. We believe you, that you're already making ways out of no way for us, and that those ways are not always material or money or things that we can see, but even your blessings sometimes operate in ways that we can't quite touch. Favor, blessings, health. So, God, we thank you in advance for being with us, for guiding us, for loving us and redeeming us. In Jesus' name, we humbly say amen. Well, listen, as I promised, I want to dive right into this thing. Today, I just really want to take, if I could take for a topic, there's going to be no specific scripture, but if I could take for a topic today for this talk, it would be, where they do that at? come on now, we know these young folks got all these different colloquialisms and all these different expressions, and sometimes we start speaking in a vernacular, and we got all of these different expressions. And one of the ones that kind of have taken to me lately is, where they do that at? Where they do that at? Now, I know somebody might be saying, wait a minute, hold on. You're an educated preacher. You should know better than to use slang and all of that stuff. I say, slap yourself. Listen, we're going to be real on this show every single time. Today, I did it on purpose. I know it's not proper grammar, but if you actually listen a little bit longer, give me about 15 minutes of your time, you'll begin to see how we unravel this thing so you understand exactly where we're coming from and why I'm coming from this angle. Where they do that at? So let me ask you one more time, where they do that at? What am I talking about? Come on, preacher, make this plain for me today, because I'm going to cut my radio off in a second or find something to go search some Facebook or something like that in a minute. All right? Well, let me make it plain. Let me deal with it the way I need to deal with it. And that is, I was looking at Facebook Live. And on Facebook Live, of all places, I seen at a Baptist church. Remember, I was talking about the third wave movement. I seen it at its finest in a Baptist church. There was a prophet. I won't mention his name because this ministry is not designed to shame other ministries, but it is designed to help us be educated in the word. All right. But there was a prophet. This prophet was he was prophesying from the pulpit, and he was saying, you know, God's going to bless you. God's going to do this if you just dance. And so he said, I want you to dance. And he did this countdown. And after he counted down from 10, and everybody was excited. When he got down to 1, the whole church started dancing. Everybody just took off the Holy Ghost music, quote unquote, started playing, and everybody started shouting, and they was dancing and all of that, right? Totally hypnotized by these antics is what I call it. Everybody was set ablaze. So in the middle of his presentation, he stops and he says, hey, where's such and such is at? I was looking for him. Where's such and such? Oh, we couldn't find him. Oh, he gone. He said, you know, he said, God was about to give him $85,000, but I guess he walked out on him. Pricked in my spirit. Come on, pricked in my spirit. I asked a question in the Facebook Live session. Where they do that at? Show me where in the Bible do they do that? Show me where in the Bible is it predicated for us to receive blessings based on if we dance, based on if we dance on command of the preacher, the prophet, the bishop, the pastor, or who's ever in charge. When did God put it in his charge for us to receive the blessing? He said, look, he said, I heard another preacher, I can't make this up, on the Facebook Live. He said, look, I'm about to pray for you in the spirit. He started speaking in tongues. If you listen to my show, you know exactly how I feel about speaking in tongues. You know exactly where we stand as far as like what we teach and what we preach on speaking in tongues. Not saying we don't believe in it, but the Bible says specifically how it's supposed to be done. Let's say it like that. All right? So this man, he said, listen, I'm going to pray for you in the spirit one more time. He said, listen, you want to jump in right now? You want to jump in right now because your blessing is going to come through me. I can't make this up. This is what he told his crowd. And it was thousands of people following this Facebook stream. I'm hurting in my spirit because we're so led astray because we just won't read his word. We just won't understand exactly what his word says. If we understood what his word says, then we would know that our blessings don't have to come, you know, through some individual proclaiming that he holds the key to them. He said, your blessing is going to come through me. He said, this is the time to jump on board and connect with me because all that I have left is about to be released. What do you mean all that you have left, Flair? What do you mean by that? Where they do that at? Where is it at in the Bible that your blessings are held up or they're released specifically by the preacher, the prophet, the teacher? Come on, the evangelist, the pastor. Where do they do that at in the Bible? Listen, if you can find it anywhere where it has done that, please feel free to contact me, 313-221-7600. Text me, some scripture, we can talk about that thing, or you can even email me over at centerofspiritandtruth@gmail.com. We can talk about this all day. As a matter of fact, I would love to have you as a guest on our show, and let's actually have an open forum discussion so that people can be educated. But as far as my knowledge go, as far as my seminary knowledge and both my un-university kind of knowledge of the word and studying and just allowing God to illuminate my heart from these both perspectives, I've never seen it where our blessings were predicated on someone else, not in this way. So where do they do that at? We have to escape this ideology that we're so big or that somebody is so big. We put people up on these pedestals and then we get hurt when they fall. I was just preaching about this and talking about this in our Bible study yesterday. Many of us will fall away from Christ because the preacher fell away from Christ. And not even really, I won't say fell away from Christ, because he made a mistake, because he fell down. We'll fall away from God because the preacher messed up. Many people are out there in the highways and byways. They don't want to even come into the church. They don't want nothing to do with the church because of antics and theatrics like this. So wait a minute. You mean to tell me that I got to wait until you get in the mood? He said, hold on, I'm tired because I'm so tired. I've been tired. I've been praying in spirit all day. I'm about to release all that I have left. Come on, jump on in here right now. I was so disturbed. And then on top of all of this, we're supposed to carry ourselves with a sense of modesty, especially before many people who are giving their last dimes into these ministries. This man was sitting at his computer desk. He had a really big gold chain around his neck. He had like these really big, gaudy like ring on his finger. I'm not hating on his material, but understand what I'm saying here. What kind of image are we projecting to people when we appear before them in this way, asking them to send money and give their last dime and give their 10%? They're barely holding on. They're robbing from Peter to pay Paul. We're telling you, you need to give your 10% and all of that because we got the antics. And if you bless me, then when I get in the mood, I'm going to release your blessing. Somebody please tell me where they do that at. My friends, family, we're all going to be swept away into this cult-like mentality if we don't wake up and really look at the Bible and understand what the Bible is saying to us as a people. It's so easy to get swept away by many of these ministries and many of these fake artists. And really what some of them are human behaviorists. I challenge you to find in the Bible where the prophet shows up and says, hey, is there somebody named Peter here? Is there somebody named Peter here? Where's Peter? I need to talk to Peter. No. Do you have somebody got a police officer in their family? No. The Bible is very specific when it comes to prophets and even apostles. Very specific. When Saul was supposed to come into Ananias, understand that when he was blinded, they received very specific instructions. There's no guesswork. There's no guessing game. And then we get excited when people prophesy unto us things that cannot be verified. Let me say that for you again in case you missed it. We get excited about somebody that give us something that's prophesied, but it can't be verified. Somebody missed that. I got to give it to you one more time, and I'm doing this to you on purpose. Don't quit on me just yet. We get so excited about what has been prophesied, but these things that's prophesied can't be verified. What do they do that at? If you look in your Bible, you'll find that when God has given the authority, given the anointing unto his man or woman of God to actually fulfill his work, understand that something very specific is happening for a very specific purpose in God. And understand that when God is saying, if God said it, that settles it. So if his chosen vessel is actually speaking is not so much on that person's authority that's speaking it, or under that person's own will or under that person's own design or power that these things are happening, but it is the divine power of God that is happening. That's the reason why many times in the Bible, the prophet would say, I am not a man of God if this or that doesn't happen. And it's something very specific, and it's something very verifiable. It lines up with his word in various places throughout the Bible, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, and you can see very clearly the consistency of it, the specificity in it, and you also can see the power of it, and the ultimate end is that it glorifies God. Ask yourself those questions. How do I know when I'm really being getting a true prophecy? Well, is it specific? Can I find this prophecy? Can I find this type of move of God in the Word of God? Now, come on, if I'm telling you, you need to get on your feet and start jitting and school crapping, and you need to get on your feet and start running around and flipping around like a fool and pulling out your weave and flopping in the floor, then God is going to release $85,000 into your life, or God is going to turn your financial. Why is it always material? Does anybody ever wonder that? It's because this is tickle me Elmo doctrine is what I call it. This that doctrine that's designed to tickle your ears. This is what people want to hear. These are the same mistakes that the Pharisees made. These are the same mistakes that maybe even Judas made. These are the same mistakes that the Jews make. The Semitic Jews even today make the same mistake. We are looking for something that's going to tickle us, something that's going to satisfy us in a certain physical way. And then they were confused when Jesus said and came and said, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said, what y'all tripping out for? Paul even looked at the church and he said, what are y'all doing? They came to Paul, they said, Paul, look, you know, how can we tell whether or not, you know, these guys are like speaking in a tongue or whether they're doing some other stuff? He said, well, this is how you can tell. God is not an author of confusion. So he's going to do it. It's going to be two, not more than three people speaking. One of them is going to be an interpreter, and they're not all speaking at the same time. Huh? That's your Bible, Corinthians. So when we begin to analyze that, we can tell and see a clear difference between what is considered paganistic activity and what is true spirituality, Christian spirituality being practiced. Otherwise, I challenge you. Look at a church that's on fire, catching the Holy Ghost and doing all of these different things, and then go and look at an old cultic, if you will, an old paganistic ceremony where indigenous people are sitting around fires and they're going into trances and stuff like that. Look at how similar the experiences are. And then it will open your mind to the foolishness that we experience. Then keep those things in mind and ask yourself, where they do that at? Where they do that at? Where they do that at, love? Beloved, where they do that at? Go look in your Bible and see if you can verify that this is how God really moves. Go and see if God is always telling his chosen man of God or woman of God to go and prophesy material things. I remember that there were kings that he told, like, hey, you got to get ready to die. Hezekiah, you got to go get your house in order. You're getting ready to die. So because he had such a change of heart, understand that his blessing came. The prophet told him, look, just because you did what you did, because you changed your heart, you changed your disposition, you changed how you were toward God, you believed God and you allowed him in. Understand that because you changed your disposition, your blessing is God's going to add so many years onto your life. Sometimes your blessing might not come in money. Sometimes your blessing might not come in being able to have those tangible material things. Truth be told, if we give you the money, you're going to go out and buy bad food that ain't no good for you. You're going to get bigger. Your blood pressure is going to go up. You might not live as long to enjoy it. When you die, your people are going to start fighting over it. Then we have something that's totally ungodly. Why would God purport to only giving you physical things, material things? When these are not even really spiritual things. So I was just talking about that. When the Bible says give and it shall be given unto you, where does it say give money? Now, I'm not saying don't give money if you want to support the ministry going forward. It's a good thing. We should give, you know, to our ministries to help it sustain because we believe in the work of the ministry. But the ultimate end is that we can do the very work of God. That's the ultimate end. So here we are. We're in a place where we actually are looking at different instances where we have to deal with understanding exactly what's happening around us. Because we're getting swept away. My concern is that we continue to create this facade. We continue to create this double standard, and we continue to create these Ponzi schemes. Yes, I call them like Ponzi schemes or pyramid schemes, because church can be looked at as a big old pyramid scheme when it's done wrong. We want your money, and the people at the top, those are the ones that benefit the most. We're not trying to feed people anymore. Because we get shamed with the Old Testament, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. You curse with a curse if you don't do it. Come on, we got to do better than that. We have to really see the bigger picture. What was the reason that they brought the tithes into the storehouse in the first place? The Bible says so that there may be meat or food. That's what the Bible means by meat. It means food. So that there be food in my house. What did they do with the food? Go research that. So it's really about serving your fellow man, and by doing so, you serve God. So why are we, like, so hung up on all these material things that these prophets are prophesying to us? Why are we so hung up on thinking that our blessing is going to come through a man? So here I am. I'm on this Facebook Live, and I asked a simple question. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not trying to cause anybody to be interrupted while they're slain in the spirit or none of that. I said, I just want to ask one quick question. Where at in the Bible can I find that our blessings are predicated on somebody's mood or our blessings are based on somebody telling us if we dance on their command, then God will bless us? Find that for me in the Bible. Oh, my goodness. The community jumped on me. The community jumped on me like crazy. It was like, get off the page, you're such a hater, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, whoa, 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 listen. How can we have that? The Bible says that we ought to always be ready to give an account or give a defense for what we believe. And we're supposed to actually do that with love. How can we do that with love if someone asks a simple question and our first thing to do is get defensive and jump all over them? Then we wonder why we can't get nobody to come into the church. Oh, my people, I need us to wake up, and we need to see, like, where do they do that at in the Bible? What's the biblical precedent behind all of this madness? And so nobody can answer the question. Instead of answering the question, they just jumped on me. Matter of fact, a few people actually chimed in and said, okay, it's not in the Bible, but when this quote-unquote prophet, when he says something, that is what it is. But he said a whole bunch of unverifiable things. So I said, listen, I'm just asking a question because I want to know, you know, show me in the Bible. The whole time I was on the site asking them to show me something in the Bible, they never could. I don't care who you follow, who you listen to. Your main purpose for listening to them should be because they can help you grow in your Christian walk. And what that simply means is taking the Word of God and helping you understand it to a point where you're able to move forward with your life, with your connection to God, stepping away from sin and more closer to Him. I say it again, stepping away from sin and moving more closer to Him. And so if we are in a place where that's not happening, or the activities that we see, the teachings that we see, the practices that we see are not based on the Word of God, baby, I want to tell you today that you are in the wrong place. You've been had, took, bamboozled. Come on. And if you're black, don't let it happen to you on Black History Month. Joke. Listen, with all sincerity, one of the last things that we need to do is be in a ministry where we're following somebody's personal philosophy. Come on, you heard me say so many times before, Bishop said this. Bishop said, oh, the apostle such and such. Oh, the prophet is coming. I got to hear him. And we hear all of these personal philosophies, okay? It's one thing if we give you personal philosophies and throw some scripture in it. That's bad. We take the word and make the word bend around what we want you to think, how we want you to feel, and it's all about that mighty dollar. But the reality is how it should look. The blueprint should be this. We take the word, and no matter how you feel about it, because how facts is not based on how you feel. So no matter how you feel about it, God's word is God's word. It's his universal moral code. So we take that universal moral code and we deal with it based on how God is commanding us and directing us. That way we conform to the word and we don't make the word conform to us. There's a difference. So I just want to encourage us with this information on today. I challenge you to go and look in your Bible. Don't take my word for it. Go look in your Bible and find out where they do that at. Listen, my name is Jose Dorsey. I am the pastor over at this church. It's a very humble church. I'm very excited to pastor this church. We're called Center of Spirit and Truth. We are worshiping right now on Sundays at 11 o'clock at 17609 Livernois in Detroit, Michigan. We're a very loving family, but one of the things that we do, teach and preach according to the Bible. And so we're looking for different people who's looking to actually be fed, a good humble home where you can come and actually experience the word of God. If you're looking for a place to worship and fellowship, we invite you. We invite you not to come receive some philosophies, not come and receive some opinions, but come and receive the word of God. I challenge pastors, I challenge ministry leaders out there to do the same. Listen, I love you, God bless you, and until next time we meet, we pray that God, may God keep you and may God bless you.
With thy spirit, oh, cover me, Lord, with thy thy breath.